Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for who you are. Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, thank you for being the lamb that was slain, showing the ultimate how far love would go, your love for us. Thank you. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we can sing, because of what you have done for us. Father, as we seek to hear from you this morning, I pray that your presence would manifest itself here, that, Lord, that you would be able to freely move wherever. So, congregation, I just ask you to take a moment and pray for yourself. Pray that you would give the Holy Spirit permission to move in your heart and life, that you would respond the way that he would see fit. I ask you to pray for me, that God would use me, that God would hide me behind the cross and be his words and not my own. Father, we thank you for this morning. We gather here together to hear from you. We love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm supposed to announce, if your children are going to children's church, now is the time. But I also want to let you know that today is the last day for, like, this semester. We're going to take a look, they're going to take a little bit of break during the summer, and then children's church will start back up around the school year. So there's going to be gnashing and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth next Sunday when there's no children's church. I know my child. So as they go out, I have up here, I have heard that if you, in the bulletin, if you have not seen already, there was a barbecue plate to go plate. That was being sold for our Romanian mission team. They're sold out. So if you missed it, you missed it. So it's exciting. Part of that was Becky bread, and I have like the last loaf. So it's up for auction afterwards, all right? So we'll start the bidding down here and down front. If you haven't experienced Becky bread, then I'm sorry. You need to. I mentioned last service that the manna from heaven, I'm sure it was Becky bread that out there in the wilderness. So let's be honest. So this morning, I'm up here. Obviously, I'm not Scott Jones. I just don't look like him at all. I don't sound like him either. If you are a guest with us this morning, I am the associate pastor here. My name is Jordan Mims, and I'm so honored and to have the privilege to bring the message this morning. And one of the things that's come up, Scott asked me about a couple of months ago. He gave me a few dates and said, hey, can you preach on these dates, and can you fill in for me? And I said, yes. And one of those things is just, we like to kind of change it up a bit. I totally am different than Scott is in our styles of preaching, so it's kind of nice to be able to sometimes get that difference. But the other thing is really and truly, Scott needed a little bit of a break, right? Some rest. And we, as a staff, just recently, at the beginning of this month, we went on a minister's retreat where we got to get away for a couple of days. It was myself and Scott and Jeff and Marcy and then Wes as well. Got to go, and so we got to spend a couple of days. We shared together, we ate together, we evaluated together, and we laughed a lot together, which was really good. It was really good for our soul. But one of the things that kind of like rose to the surface as we were talking was the realization that we're all a little tired. We're all a little tired, and we're all a little worn out. And, as pastors, we're normal people, so we have our own personal issues that we're dealing with, our own family issues that we're dealing with at home, just like you are. But in ministry, one of those things that come with the job and come with the vocation is that we have people that from the congregation, yourself, or people in the community that will come to us specifically a lot of times, Scott, with needing guidance and counseling, or just needing someone to vent to, needing some just whatever it is to walk through some grief. And a lot of that can be a very emotionally weighty. And that emotional weight can also be interpreted or can transition into physical, like, weight, needing just kind of rest. And so that's kind of what I want to, like, talk about this morning, is this idea of rest and how I think Jesus gives us ultimate rest. And one of the things, my wife and I were able to get away recently. I was thinking about it earlier, and this is the first time since, like, 2016, before our last baby was born, that we were able to get away alone together for, like, several days. So Holly and I were able to go earlier this week for about 4 days to Ojai, California. There's an actual picture of Ojai. Ojai is in Southern California, and it's about an hour and a half north of L.A., and it's up in kind of the mountains. It's a small, a little eclectic community. There's only about 8,000 people. Kind of reminds you of Rockport in that. There's no chain anything in the town. No chain hotels, no chain restaurants. No, it's all local businesses. So it's got a kind of a neat feel in the community there. And it's up in the mountains, but if you drive 20 miles south, you'll run into a town called Ventura, which is right on the coast. I mean, you're driving down the highway, and you literally look on one side, and you have those mountains. And then you look on the other side, and it's literally the coastline. There's the beach. It's a beautiful place, right? We get flat in water, which is I'm thankful for. But to be able to go up to an area in the mountains, and it also the weather is like in the 70s, right? So great weather. We got to go there, and we were walking around in this one little area kind of closer to downtown. There's a bunch of different shops, and we were walking around, and we got to the back part of these shops, and there was this, like, courtyard area, kind of just this grassy area, no bigger than the middle part of the middle section here. And there were people standing around, just kind of milling around, and some resting, sitting on the grass. But I noticed in particular there was one gentleman that was obviously probably, I would assume, a homeless man. He was laying there on the grass. I assume he was a homeless man because he looked, his clothes were unkempt, and it looked like they had not been washed for several days. He had a blanket, and I remember vividly he had stacks of books. And in fact, I think he was using, like, a stack of books for kind of like a prop for his head and maybe a bag. And he was just laying there taking a nap. And I didn't, like, walk up to him. I just kind of saw him from a distance, and I thought for, like, a brief moment in my mind, which I don't think I've even shared with my wife, but I thought for a brief moment, I'm kind of envy this guy. You know, here he is in this beautiful location, right, and where the temperature doesn't get higher than, like, 82, and the lows don't get any lower than, like, in the 50s, and here it is, a sunny day, it's in the 70s, and he's laying out here on the grass. And he's probably got very few cares in the world, you know? The only thing that he's probably worried about when he wakes up is where he might find his next meal. And in that moment, I thought, that's a pretty good life. There's not a lot of care, and all you worried about is resting. How awesome. But then I realized, you know, I like my house, even though I don't like necessarily having to pay a mortgage or pay a car payment, all I like these things, right? But in that moment, I realized just how much rest is so valuable. And being resting in the moment of what this is and the beauty of everything around. One of the things that as Americans and then as Christians, but I think as more specifically as Americans, one of the things that we struggle with culturally, we get told that we need that, whatever that is. You know, if I could just get that job, then things would be so much easier in my life. Or if I could make that amount of money, then I wouldn't have to worry about all these things. It would just be so good. or if I could have that relationship, then I would be so much happier. Or if my kids acted like that kid, you know, there would be so much more peace at home. Or if my wife would do that for me, then I wouldn't, you know, be so grumpy. Or if my husband would do that for me, then it would be so much easier. Whatever that is, you kind of fill in the blank. We're always striving after the that. And that spills over into our spiritual life as well. You know, if I can just get rid of that in my life, then God will love me more. Or things might go better in my life. Or if I could just have a prayer life like that person, then I bet you God would, like, I don't know, listen to me more. Or if I knew the Bible like that guy, I would never doubt I wouldn't have the questions that I have and the struggles that I have. You see what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? And so I think that oftentimes we get so caught up in striving after, not only in our personal life, but also in our spiritual life, that we fail to hear what Jesus has to say. And we fail to realize what Jesus has already done. So let's look at Matthew 11, verses 25. He says this, and Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We don't often read from this version, but I want to read the same passage for you again in the message translation, just because I love how Peterson, the poetics that Peterson uses to interpret this passage. So bear with me as I read again this same passage. He says, "Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spell them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work." Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. "The Father has given me all the things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on all this religion stuff? Jesus says, come. Come to me this moment. Quit striving after that, whatever that is, because that will not satisfy. Because when you get to that, you'll find out there's another that you need. I get to that job and I realize, wait a second, that job's not what it panned out to be. Or I get that amount of money and I realize, wait a second, where did it all go? I need this more. I need, you know, that amount of money now. That will never satisfy. And it's only in recognizing and coming to Jesus, recognizing that he has done the work, can we truly experience soul rest. Experience rest and experience the this, as I like, because this moment is really all that there is. You know, this moment right now won't happen again in your life. You won't ever get that back. I'm sorry. You know, some of you may, I wasted that moment. Yeah, but this moment, are we living in this? I was at a conference not too long ago, and the speaker talked about four streams of spiritual growth. We can kind of look at them as stages, but they really all go together. So it's not like you do one, then you do the other, but, you know, like that. But so we call it really four streams of spiritual growth. And then the first stream is called cleaning up. The stream cleaning up, which means is the work of looking for or finding within these unseen shadows, these unseen things that are causing you harm. Maybe some trauma in your life that you have not dealt with. Maybe some things, some lies that you have bought into that you have just kind of clung to, and they've really injured you. Something that you have, maybe you can't do on your own. You can't, in your own self-reflection, get rid of those and clean those up. You may need to talk to somebody and be able to figure those things out. That's the cleaning up. It's the allowing yourself to kind of open up and see what it is that is causing you suffering and harm. The next thing is growing up. And growing up is the stage or the stream of recognizing that we're not alone. Recognizing that the words that you say and the things that you do have consequences, has effect on people. I can cause suffering by the things that I say. I can cause suffering by the things that I do to people. But I can also build up people in the things that I say. I can build life by the things that I do. What you say and do has a consequence. And recognizing, growing up is recognizing that in all aspects of life, whether that's in your job, in the workplace, wherever you are, the people, the things that you say there, whether it's on social media, or whether it's in the church, or whether it's with your family, whatever it is, recognizing that. And then the third thing, third stage or stream, is one I kind of want to really focus in on this morning, is waking up. And waking up is essentially this idea of letting go of the lies that you have believed in and saying, I'm not going to believe those anymore. I'm going to live this life in this moment and let go of those things. And some of us have lies that maybe you're not even like consciously aware of, that like if I could quit doing this or this or this, then I would feel like God loves me. Or if I prayed a little more, read a little more, did this a little more, then maybe I would be a better person or a more spiritual person. God would love me more, essentially. Can I tell you that's a lie? And I tell you that that's not true. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? There was nothing that we did God loved. And then it says, go on to say that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. God brings love and acceptance, not hate and condemnation. Jesus loves us. He's not expecting us to have the cleaning up figured out, right? In order to love us, he loves. So sometimes, or it might be the lie that, man, I need that in my life. I need whatever that is. And letting go of that lie. No, you don't. You need to let it die and let go of it. Because all it's doing is ruining your life. Or all it is taking your focus off of what is important right in front of you. What God has for you. Waking up, letting go, releasing, letting go of the lies you've believed. See, waking up is a daily thing. The cleaning up, the growing up, these are continual processes that you will always be doing. You'll always be discovering things. When you're cleaning up and you figure out, oh man, I've got something here that I need to deal with, oftentimes that reveals something else. You're like, oh no, now I need to deal with this. Yeah, you do. And then the growing up, realizing that what I say and do affects other people, that's something that's continually happened. But waking up is something you have to do every single day. You can't just say, all right, today I'm not going to believe that lie and then wake up tomorrow. Well, probably tomorrow you're going to pull it back. You're like, oh, I think I do need it. The waking up process is something we have to do every day. Kind of reminds me of what Jesus says when you have to die daily. Take up your cross and follow me. It's a continual thing. It's a daily thing that we have to do, decide to let go of our life. And then the last thing, or the fourth stream is standing up, showing up, standing up, showing up. And that is standing up for those that are in a place of suffering or a place of suffering where they cannot stand up for themselves. They cannot speak up for themselves. And it's essentially being the salt and light wherever you go. There are people that are in this community. There are people all around this world that don't know the hope of Jesus and are living without that hope. And we have to stand up for them. We have to stand up and go to them, right? To be able to bring them and show them the hope. We have to stand up for, whether it be unborn babies, whether it be children that have been brought over illegally, whether it's trafficking, people that have been trafficked, wherever there is injustice and people cannot speak up for themselves, we are to stand up for them. As we mature, it's more of just looking within, but looking out and seeing. You know, there's a verse on your bulletin, if you got it this morning, it's John 13, 34 and 35. And he says, this new commandment I've given to you, to love each other. and that your love to one another is going to prove to the world, or prove to each other, that you are my disciples. Standing up for the unlovables and loving them. And that's what God is all about. That's what Jesus has preached. He says the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second that's most like it is love your neighbor as yourself. We, as followers of Jesus, be people of love and be marked by our love and not by our hate. Be marked by what we are for and not what we are against. So, this morning, perhaps like so often I am myself, I buy into the lie of that. If I could just attain that. If I could just that, whatever. And so often, sometimes those that's aren't bad things. But my focus can be so caught up on that I neglect this that God has given me in this moment. I hope that when you walk out of here, you can remind yourself that, one, that God woke you up this morning. You woke up, praise the Lord. You have breath in your lungs right now. You are alive. And you walk out, there is sun that is shining. There are birds that are singing. There's waves that are crashing on the shore. There's trees that are growing. And none of that is done by you. You know, you didn't do any of that. But I can enjoy and recognize the beauty of God and who He is. And then seeing all that. And being satisfied and content in the this. You know, one of the most, excuse me, I keep coughing. One of my a favorite verse of many that sometimes is taken out of context is the "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," right? If you look before that, Paul is talking about contentment. He said, I've had plenty and I've had little, but in all things I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The reality of contentment, the reality that He is giving us all that we need in this moment for this right here. And so this morning, I hope that you will wake up and that you will let go of whatever that is, the lie that you've been telling yourself, and realize that God is saying, come, Are you tired? Are you worn out? You burned out on religion? Come on. Come on. Rest. Rest with me. I'll show you what rest is all about. I've done the work. Why is the yoke in light? Why is it free? Why is it light? Because I've done it. I don't need you. Come. Come and rest. And come and be present in this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for you. I thank you for all that you've done for us. The ways that we can see you in everything. Ways that we can rest in what you've done for us. Lord, as we wake up to the reality of the lies sometimes that we so easily hold on to, Lord, help us to let go. Help us to realize that you've created this moment for us now. Quit worrying about that moment or that thing and looking towards those moments and focus on this now. God, we pray that you continue to move in our hearts and lives. We love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.